Welcome to Scrollin' episode 122. I'm Ket. Joining me as always, Davius Starjumper. How you doing, dude?
Happy to be here. Just always.
I'm waiting for the time that you say sad to be here or
sad
angry
to be here. Not happy to be here.
I'll tell you that much.
Honestly, wish I was somewhere else right now. Just coming in hot.
Anywhere but here, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's get this scrolling.
Oh man, that'd be such an epic entrance. The best part too would just be you just take it in stride. All right, and we're gonna talk about
we got the update 41 here. And
gosh, that would be good. That would be good.
Well, anyway, yeah, we do update 41. That's what we're here to talk about. It's live. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of new dungeons, Bedlam Vale and Oathsworn Pit. Have you checked either of them out yet, Davius?
I have not done them yet. And that might become a theme for me on this episode, is that the PvE that I need to do, but I just queue up for BGs when I actually log in. I actually queued for a dungeon the other day. And then dropped Q and immediately queued for a BG. But I'm right there with you. I thought it was close. You know, I think that counts because I was technically queued for a minute.
So counts. We'll count it.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I have a lot of PvE that I actually have been doing and more that I have to do coming up too. I probably won't be doing a lot of BGs in the next couple of weeks because I have a few different builds that I'm trying to put together.
I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm going to play some BGs.
There it is. There it is.
I did do both of the new dungeons on normal just to see them. And not to start off on too negative a note, I was not super impressed. They were pretty bland to me. Especially, what was the one? Oathsworn Pit. Man, that one was very if I just queued up for a random and got that one, I probably would just think that's some dungeon that's been in the game a really long time.
Wouldn't even know it as a new one.
Yeah, it's just so, I don't know. The scenery is just very, basic Elder Scrolls stuff. Nothing really even stands out about it. The one thing that stands out is it's orcs. There's a bunch of orcs in there. I don't think there's a lot of orc dungeons. That's something.
Okay. Where, do you remember what zone it's actually in?
It might be Hrothgar, actually. Anyway. That was my take on Oathsworn Pit. Bedlam Vale, slightly more interesting looking, but still pretty, just kind of rote, you know, to me. When it comes to dungeons, I don't really pay attention to the story at all, like the dialogue. I just kind of blast through it to get the skill point. So if there's any hope of grabbing me, it's going to have to be based on visual spectacle or combat mechanics. And really nothing like that was really interesting, at least not on normal anyway.
Gotcha. Well, that's Oathsworn Pit's the one that I need to do. Get that Anthelmere monster set. So,
yeah. That being said, I probably will be doing these dungeons a fair amount because I do want some of these sets. Mm. So maybe I'll come around after I have done them a few times. I'll learn to appreciate them. Perhaps
we can hope. We can hope, right?
Yeah, maybe. Public service announcement: the Torque of the Last Aeliad King, the new mythic that just came out. It does not work. And no proc Cyrodiil and no proc Imperial City is what the reports are saying. It's what I've been told. I've not actually gotten my hands on this thing yet to test it for myself. But that's what the people are saying. I'm thinking that's surely like an oversight.
Yeah.
It seems like that should work in no proc.
That's got to get fixed, you would think. Because, I mean, this is like the stat mythic of stat mythics. It's like give up everything for just some stats.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no proc condition or anything. You just put it on and it happens. And Gaze of Sithis works there, you know. So I think that's probably something that we can expect to get fixed. But if that's a big reason why you're farming it right now, then just be warned. That's apparently how it is right now. Also, need to correct ourselves from the last episode because what was in the patch notes, the week 5 PTS patch notes did not match what the actual item was when you logged into the PTS and looked at it. But that is what the week 5 patch notes said is actually what we got in the live patch. I hope that's not too confusing, but you get 500 of all 3 recoveries and the 15% damage mitigation rather than the 8% mitigation. And I think it was 693 of magicka and stamina recovery is what we thought we were getting. I actually would have liked that better.
You would have liked the recovery instead of the mitigation.
Yeah, I liked the lower mitigation, higher recovery version.
Sure.
But the weapon damage is the same as 1337. You know, that hasn't changed, but you're getting 500 of all three recoveries and 15% damage mitigation. Still very juicy.
Yeah.
I'm still after this thing.
Still really good. Are you after it?
I am. I'll talk about my farming adventures a little later on. But yeah, it has been a journey. I'll say that much right now. So I mean, you know, it's just a dungeon DLC, so there's not a whole lot to say. You know, like I said, not super impressed by the dungeons, but you know, we're not really PvE people, so
yeah,
that's just not really the thing that we were looking forward to. Really, what we've been looking forward to are these balance changes and how it's looking to be a very different kind of PvP landscape. And so far, it's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of build testing and people just trying out a bunch of new ideas for like sorcerers and nightblades and different things. So I thought we could do just a quick kind of think of it as like a mini BG report, not a full-blown BG report, but we'll just kind of run down the list of classes and talk about how we think they're doing so far in this kind of not a completely new, you know, meta, but it, you know, it's different. Yeah. It's a little different.
I would say a change in a while since it's been a change.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, and we'll kind of try to go in order from, you know, from worst to best with the classes. So of course we are starting with the necromancer.
You should have done like a drum roll, you know, some suspense there.
Well, it would have been a false sense of suspense. Yeah. You know, we all know, you know, they got that new Gravelord sacrifice thing and some new little thingies to play with, I guess, but nothing that solved the problems that they've had for a long time. Nothing has made them better. They just have a new option of sort of like a way to play, but it doesn't make them any more powerful than they were before by any. In fact, they're probably slightly less powerful because the morph of blast bones that was taken away was the one that did more damage.
Mm-hmm. I would just say you just never see necros anymore. Like,
you don't.
When's the last time you saw like a necro and a BG, like once every blue moon? And I don't know, I really can't remember the last time I saw multiple in one BG. So that's been my take, is it's like, I just don't even see them anymore. And obviously the changes weren't enough to change that.
Yeah, nothing's really changed for them, right? Like none of the changes that they got solved any of the issues, and they're still pretty much in the exact same spot that they were in. No one's thinking to themselves like, you know, there's no play style that you're like going after that leads you to necro. You know, like, I want to be good at this, so I'm going to play a necro.
Yeah.
Like, that never happens, right? Like,
no.
You always kind of arrive at a different class no matter what path you're trying to take. We've said it all before. We won't rehash it all before. It'd be brain dead easy to completely fix them and make them completely viable. And there's no way the devs don't know that. So there's got to be something going on here. Maybe all will be revealed in the future. I think Dragon Knights are, you know, I've seen some DK struggling.
It's a tough time for the DK. For me personally, the no cleanse hurts. The just no easy access to some sort of cleanse, that hurts.
The status effect meta is real.
In DKs, are supposed to be kind of that slowly grind you down, wear you out, then they reset. But those status effects and dots burn you down where you can't do that. Like, you're spending all your resources. And I guess that's the part that the point I'm trying to make is that you're spending so many resources trying to survive through these status effects or dots. And DKs really flirt with the line of sustain and no sustain. And so when they're even spending a little bit of excess of resources trying to stay alive, like, it really struggles. And so, I agree with you. It's a tough time for DK right now. You can still make it work, obviously, but solo DK, it's a tough moment right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a good team, of course, DK's as strong as ever, you know, yes, and that's the thing. Absolutely. That's kind of always been the thing about DK, is like, they're very team dependent. But yeah, if you're just queuing up solo, you know, it's going to be a hit or miss if you're having a good time or not. I will say, like, backbarring Mara's Balm is a very good option, or Weird Tree or something. One of those sets that give you a cleanse. And having it just on the back bar is nice because you can kind of control when you get that cleanse. That helps a ton. Also, yep. I want to give a quick shout out to our friend 6-0, who is an absolute maniac of a Dragon Knight, extremely good player. But he hasn't been playing very long. He's only been playing like a year off and on. And he's only used the Marsalok monster set this whole time. And then this patch hits, and he's like struggling. You know, there's all these Sorks. He's like, man, it's like storming the beaches of Normandy out there with all the Sorks and the status effects. And he's just dying all the time. He's like, I got to figure something out. I got to figure my build out. I'll be back in a couple of days, guys, once I figure my build out. So then he comes back. He's like, yo, guys, this Bloodspawn monster set is OP. He's like, it solved all my problems.
The OG DK monsters. Honestly, the OG BG monster set.
Yeah. Which is so funny. He's a DK. He's like, yo, have you guys heard of this Bloodspawn set?
Hilarious.
Really funny.
I would say I completely agree with you. DK is a good puzzle piece on a group, you know, but they on their own are kind of that incomplete puzzle. Like, whereas a lot of these other classes we're about to talk to, they kind of count as multiple puzzle pieces right now.
Yeah, and that's something, I'll repeat something I've said about Dragon Knights lots of times in the past, is that's a reason why I always think that they should be offensively very strong. DKs have a hard time because I feel like a lot of people's perception of balance means who can win in a 1v1 fight. Mm-hmm. And really, that should be Dragon Knight's domain. But anytime that's the case, it's like everyone just says, DKs are so OP, DKs are so OP. But it's like when that's the only thing you can do, you have to be the best at it.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway. I think Arcanists and Wardens are kind of in a similar spot. I basically just ignore both of them. They don't die.
Yeah, very tanky in a great spot.
Yeah. They're super tanky. They generally are not a huge threat. I mean, if they're stacked with a bunch of proc sets and status effects and stuff, especially Arcanists, they can be. But then they're generally typically pretty slow and easy to get away from in that case as well. I don't know. I just generally ignore them, Arcanists and Wardens both.
Yeah. When you run across one, unless you've got, severe numbers, like I'm with you. I ignore them because it's on my builds. I'm not going to be able to do enough damage to kill them. But you're right. Like, I don't ever... Rarely do I feel like really threatened, but I definitely don't have the firepower to take them down.
Yeah, or it's like I might have the firepower to take them down if I'm willing to spend 5 minutes working on it, but I could get 3 or 4 other kills in that time, so I'm just not going to bother. And then Templar, I think as predicted, I've played a lot of Templar in the last couple of weeks, and they feel great, especially if I've been playing a lot of Nightblade or Sork, which I have been, and you have a few games where those statuses and those dots are really wearing you down. They're really giving you a hard time. And then you jump on with the Plar and you're cruising, man. It's easy peasy.
I feel like Templar has been like the, we talked about it, but it's come true. Like, it's the popular of, if you're not on a Sork or Nightblade, everybody's just hopping on Templars. Like, it is the counter to this status effect change. Everybody's hopping on and everybody's extending rituals. Just... extended rituals for days.
It's actually pretty interesting. You'll see some scoreboards. There'll be some matches where, as expected, this is kind of a Sork patch, So you'll see a bunch of Sorks on the scoreboard. But also, just as often, you'll see a scoreboard that's like 8 Templars.
Yep, absolutely.
In the match. And someone was even asking, it was Garion in the Discord the other day. He's like, why were there so many Templars in that match? And I responded, like, these people are discovering the status effect meta, my friend. That's what's happening.
I can say, like, especially as a DK main, like, if I've got a Templar on the team, that is my favorite teammate right there. Guaranteed.
Oh yeah. If I'm playing on not a Templar, I'm sprinting to those cleansing circles every time. Like, oh, please, please, please.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great time to be playing a Templar. I've been playing both a melee jab Plar, old Betsy, and then I have a range Plar that I've been having a lot of fun with too. They're both in excellent shape. We have Nightblades. That's probably the class I've actually been spending the most time with lately. I'm going to talk about my Nightblade build later, but man, they're in great, 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 great shape.
See, that's interesting. I feel like I keep getting mixed reviews. And I know you have been saying, like, yeah, they're in a better spot, but every now and then I feel like, and I say every now and then, like, I feel like there's a decent amount of Nightblades I've talked to that are like, no, I don't like the changes aren't good. I don't know. I feel like I'm getting mixed reviews.
I think I probably am the odd one out here, because I'm not a Nightblade main at all, and my Nightblade build is not a typical Nightblade build, so my build was definitely buffed. There's no question about that. So, I'm happy. But yeah, they lost that Major Berserk from Concealed Weapon. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the main thing that they're kind of bummed about. Basically, they have a 10% damage loss overall.
So would you say that, like, overall the class got a little bit better kind of across the board, but maybe, like, the actual Nightblade gank got a little bit of a nerf, like, that specific playstyle?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe so. I think the Brawler Blade is really what is, once again, is kind of has been buffed here, you know, with that siphoning attacks changed. It's a much more reliable, like, incoming heal. It's also much more reliable to get a, like, on-demand resource return, which is not really how it worked before. Like, you had to wait for the ability to expire before to get the full resource return. And if you recast it early, you didn't get the full value out of it. You know, it really benefited you to wait. Now you can just kind of, treat it like Dark Deal. You know, as long as you have enough health, you can just cast it as many times as you want until your resource bars are full.
Huh, yeah.
And the cost is low enough. You know, if you have a couple of hots going, it's no problem to just cast that thing. It doesn't pull you out of stealth. You can just hang out in stealth and fill your resource bars up, you know, all you like.
Yeah, that seems pretty good.
And my Nightblade has two dots on his build. I put two dots on people. And since siphoning attacks, it no longer procs from your light and heavy attacks. It procs from any damage done, and it's while slotted. You don't even have to activate the thing. And so I put my dots on people, and I'm just automatically getting a hot from siphoning attacks. Huh. So my sustain is just never ending. The healing combined with other heal over time stuff that Nightblades have, I just feel like so much more confident, and I'm really, honestly, on my build, I feel like absolutely unstoppable.
Nice.
Good time to be playing Nightblade. I think especially if you're playing like a ranged sort of like Blood Mage style of build using that class set Soul Cleaver.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about my build a little bit later. I'm getting ahead of myself.
You're getting a little too excited. We got a couple other things to talk about.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, despite what the Nightblade mains out there might be saying, I do think it's a great time to be playing Nightblade. And then, of course, we have Sorcerers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're once again, you know, at the top. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But we remember what it was like, you know, when it just seems right? Doesn't it? Yeah. It seems like Sorcerers should be the sort of the kings of PvP.
Yeah, I hop in BGs, you know, lately, these past couple weeks, and I get a little nostalgic, you know, a little nostalgia kicks in of like, I remember this. I remember these just monsters streaking around the map.
Having six haunting curses on me all the time.
And shields that I can't even, no matter what I want to do, I can't get through them.
Yeah. Especially now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can't beat them, join them. You know, that's what a lot of people are coming to. And I've played quite a bit on my Sork too. That's a great, totally valid, you know, way to go about it. If you're getting fed up with the Sorks, hey, make yourself a Sork. Honestly, Sorcerers are excellent counters to other Sorcerers.
So, absolutely.
You know, it's a great way to do it. That hardened ward, it really is a game changer for them. That has that built-in heal now.
Yeah.
As many times as you want to cast it, it's so, so nice. And mine, like, my stats aren't even all that outrageous. Like, that shield isn't even all that big on my sorcerer, but it still makes all the difference in the world as far as just feeling super confident and diving into the action and knowing that I'm probably going to be able to survive and get out of it if I need to. And it's funny, it's like not much else has really changed for Sorks. You know, offensively, they've always been extremely good. It's just been that one little missing piece of survivability is what they've been needing, and that seems to really be it. And now they're kind of squared away. Like, I hope Sorcerers don't complain anymore, because honestly, I don't feel like they have any room to complain about anything anymore.
They're in a great spot, and they don't, you know, I think a lot of Sorcerers wanted to get away from the dependency on the pet, and that is absolutely possible now. Very possible.
Yes. That's problem solved. And, you know, even if you want to have an option to heal teammates without a pet, they have that option now too, with that AoE burst heal now.
Yep.
So yeah, good time to be playing Sorks. And yeah, you can tell there's a lot of them out there.
A whole bunch.
That's our little mini BG report. Necro, DK, Arcanist, Warden, Templar, Nightblade, Sorcerer number one. I guess Nightblade could be contested. Maybe it doesn't belong that high up on the list, but in my perception of like my characters, that's where I feel like my Nightblade is.
Yeah, I would say Nightblade and Templar are very close. Very close.
Yeah. In other PvP news, Saturday before last, we had the first ever Xbox NA Goon Wars. Shout out to Dudagon and Redhead Monster and Cat and all the others that were that participated in that. I was late, you know, I was working that night, so I showed up kind of in the middle of it. Of course, I'm not on Xbox, so I just jumped in the Discord and I was hanging out and watching people stream their games and stuff. Super duper fun, man. What a fun crowd that those Xbox people are. You can tell they're all just like really good friends. They hang out all the time and they're all just joking around, and the games were really intense and sweaty, and they're all, you know, trying their best, but they're also laughing at themselves and, you know, LOL, I died. And it was like the perfect vibe, honestly. It was just the exact perfect vibe of what the Goon Wars should be.
Just good old Goon Wars.
Yeah, yeah. And Dudagon, he's, you know, he does things a little different. You know, they run their show the way they want to on Xbox. Mm-hmm. So they kind of change teams up every match. In between matches, they'll swap teams around. And I think they're planning to even try some different stuff in future events and stuff. But it was cool. It was a lot more casual than kind of the PC Goon Wars have been. And it kind of got my juices flowing on maybe how we can change things up to strike a similar vibe over on our side of things.
Nice.
Speaking of which, we resumed the PC Goon Wars March 13th. That was last Wednesday. Also a huge success. Shout out to Zemo. He did an awesome job perfectly balancing the teams. I mean,
epic balance.
The best I've ever seen.
I think the first match was like one team had, I mean, from what I remember, it was like one team had 3 kills, one team had 2 kills, and I think another one had like 1 kill or something, or maybe it was 4-3-2, but it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, they're all really, really close. Super fun fights. I love games like that where like not a lot of people are dying, but it's not because they're tanky. It's because they're playing well, and you know, it's hard to kill them because they're playing well.
Really good positioning, really good reaction to different other teams' positioning. There were some good matches.
Yeah, super fun. So it's good to have those going again, and there's a lot of enthusiasm going around with that, and we're going to try some other stuff in the future. So if you're on the Discord and you've participated in that in the past, or you're interested in doing that, keep your eyes open, because we're going to change it up a little bit. I think it's going to be fun. We also had Crazy King Weekend. It just ended this morning, was the end of it. Thank goodness.
Yes. Happy to see it go.
I think it's my least favorite. Now that we've had a few cycles of these weekend events, I think Crazy King's my least favorite.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's where I'm at with it. It's very frustrating. Now, I will say, if I'm on a Nightblade or a Sorc, it's not so bad, because that's the thing, is you find yourself stranded all the time. That's what's frustrating about it, is like you can't get into any fights and have teammates with you, because everybody just wants to run away to flags and run away from fights. So if you're on a class that you can bail on, you know, like a Sorc or a Nightblade, then it's not so bad.
Yeah.
But anything else, it's kind of tough.
That's the thing. It's definitely the bottom two. The worst part about the Crazy King is exactly what you just said, is that the longer the match goes, the more it encourages players to spread out all over the map. And so it's just by the end, like if you've got a match that even goes, you know, halfway through the match, it's just everywhere you go, there's just everybody spread out and stand on all these different flags. And it is hard to have like an actual good brawl fight. I'd still throw Relic up there, mainly just because Relic Weekend, you can hop in them. You can wait 5 minutes in queue, and a game be over in like a minute and a half. So
yeah,
Relic is definitely up there with worst and Crazy King for me. But there, I do agree with you. It's very hard. This weekend was very hard to find a match where it was like, all right, here's some good fights.
Yeah, it's just the classic, like, you know, an enemy team's rolling up and you're ready to throw down, and then you look behind you and your team's all gone. They ran away from the fight.
Yep, in 3 different directions.
Yeah, that's just how it goes. But yeah, it's over now. Deathmatch weekend might be next, actually. I think they go in alphabetical order.
Glorious. So, just glorious.
We talked a little bit about, you know, we need to do some PvE. I've been doing actually quite a bit of PvE this week. Infinite Archive, farming for that new mythic, what's it called? The Last Aeliad King. Slow going, man. The drop rate, it seems to be about 1 lead per every 10 to 12 hours spent in there.
This is me and you. I mean, the tables have really turned on me and you here. Like, this is either this means that we've swapped spots, so when I farm this thing, I'll get it in like, you know, 7 runs, or it could take me 2,000 runs to farm this thing based on your runs.
I'm afraid to see what it's like for you when you try to get it with your freaking RNG.
It could be terrifying.
But I don't know. Based on how much time I've spent on it so far, it seems to be maybe like a 50-hour endeavor here to get this thing. By the way, if you're not aware, all the leads come from the Infinite Archive for the Aeliad King. Every single one of them. So you just got to do this thing a whole bunch. So I've been spending so much time in there. But yeah, more PvE to come for us both, right? I think we're going to start trying to reinstate Monday nights for the guild being our PvE nights, and we'll just, okay, everybody, let's go do a trial and
I get love some that. Sets. Well, we're all going to suffer a little bit together.
Yeah.
But we're all going to be, it's going to be a buddy system. If we're all there, we all have to hold each other accountable. Don't queue up for BGs on Monday nights. Do the PvE. Yeah.
I think this coming Monday, we're going to try to do cloud rest, normal cloud rest.
Okay.
Get some people, some Reliquin and Olorima. Those are, you know, bread and butter sets. Everyone needs to have those in the inventory. So we're going to try to get those for some people.
Always good to have.
Drank a lot of mead in East March and some rotmeth in the Elden Root tree. But I never saw the good side of ESO till I poked my head into the PvP scene. BGs keep on queuing. Stoons goons keep on gooning. Scrolling forever.
Nice.
Scrolling.
Very nice.
Good one, Grizz.
I feel like Grizz has come up with some good little tunes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did the, wasn't that him that did the Christmas Carol thing?
I thought so.
Leaping, or was that Gummy Bear? I think that was Gummy Bear.
We've just had some good little tunes written in the chat.
Tried to take credit, Grizz. How dare you?
Shout out Grizzly Khan for trying to take some false credit. No.
Just like you, Grizz. By the way, Grizzly, you should look up Urban Dictionary gooning if you don't know what that word means, and maybe rethink your usage of of that verb.
Uh-oh.
yeah, it's not good.
I feel like you told me this one time, but I have mentally blocked it out. It was that bad, I think.
Anyway, we have some builds to talk about. Actually, quite a few builds, like five or six builds.
Yeah. Some build talk.
Well, there's been a lot of theory craft going on. You know, we've all been excited about this new patch, and we all want our builds to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on Despair, my mag crew, quite a bit. I want her to... We've been talking a lot about doing like some serious pre-mades, like some organized, you know, optimized squads here lately. And I've been trying to get Despair ready to do something like that. Necros are actually not a terrible option for pre-mades because a lot of the things that they lack in their class, they can have provided to them from the group, you know? So it kind of ends up being problem solved in a lot of cases because they actually do have a lot of damage, you know, when they're allowed to be free with their build.
Yeah.
So anyway, her build, and remember, this is like a pre-made build, probably not something you'd exactly want to use in solos, although it can work okay solos. It's a Venomous Smite as a double bar set, Savara's Scales as a back bar set with a flame staff, a charged Maelstrom flame staff on the front bar, and two pieces Grothdar. So it's just a bunch of AoE pressure is what it is. Now, if I am playing solo, I'll take off the Grothdar and slap on the old Sithis and One Piece Magma just to be a little tankier. And that makes it so that you actually can jump into some solos and be all right. But you definitely would want to do that. Otherwise, it's way too squishy without the Sithis.
Yeah.
The reason I do the Maelstrom on the front bar, I know the first thing someone listening to this might think is like, oh, typically you do the Maelstrom Destro on the back bar because it carries over. But I actually spend most of my time on the back bar. That's why I have a Destro staff on both bars. So I throw my AoEs and everything on the ground, and then I switch to the back bar and just maintain buffs and hots and timers and heal people when I need it. I'm not really doing a combo, you know? I'm not really, like, attacking any one specific person. I'm just throwing a bunch of just, you know, toxicity on the ground so that there's just a bunch of dots on everybody. And then otherwise, I'm kind of just... sort of like a support build at that point after that.
And that's kind of always been, I feel like, Despair style. Like, never a true, just repeatable combo. Just trying to keep all this stuff up and keep these timers up and just keep pressure kind of across the board while also doing some support.
Yeah, it's the classic despair. The same play style that I've always had for her. It's just, you know, a new combination of gear that I haven't quite used, but still the same idea that she's always been, definitely. I am using the Gravelord's Sacrifice, the self blast bones things. I do like it.
Nice.
It's I just like that it makes my rotation easier and I don't have to cast blast bones all the time. That's the only thing really that I like about it. Otherwise, it's really just another buff timer. It's nothing special, really, but I do appreciate that I don't have to cast it every 3 or 4 seconds. And so the offense, yeah, it's all AoE spam. It's Wall of Elements, Caltrops. I have the Skeletal Arcanist. I have the Colossus Ultimate plus Venomous Smite and the Savara Scales sets are both AoE. Grothdar is AoE as well. So, you know, that's all it is, just a bunch of AoE. And so, yeah, instead of a combo, it's more like a rotation. It's kind of like a PvE rotation. So you just keep your enemies inside those ground AoEs and you keep those buffs and hots active. That's basically what you're doing. You're not really doing it in any one particular order because everything's on different timers and stuff, you know? Yeah. So you kind of have to be dynamic with it and keep your eye on things and just keep it all going. That's all it is. The heals aren't bad, you know? We have Vigor, we have the Mender, we have Resistant Flesh, and the Barrier Ultimate, you know, a pretty complete healing kit. So if we get caught out on our own or something and people try to focus us down, it's not like we just die right away. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Very nice.
It makes a pretty good off healer.
Very nice. Have you gotten do you feel like you're pretty good with the Colossus Ultimate, like with the aiming on it? I feel like that's a true necro skill, is being able to land that thing appropriately.
Actually, no, and I forgot, actually, that I switched to the Destro Staff Ultimate instead. I know I said Colossus Ultimate, that's what I wrote on the outline, but since writing the outline, I've switched to the Destro Staff Ultimate.
So you're that good with that ult, is what you're saying, huh? You were that effective with it.
Without Dark Convergence, man, the thing is just, it's tough to do anything with.
That's always been my take on it, is that unless you've got something pulling them in, it's tough to land that thing.
But yeah, it's been pretty good. We did a few squads with it. We haven't gotten like super, super, super sweaty with it yet, but we fought a few decent teams a couple of nights ago, and it seemed promising based on that. So that's what's going on just with Despair. I don't think I'm 100% locked in with her. I think probably that will continue to evolve, so we'll check in more with her probably on the next episode. What about Lord of Norns, Davius? What's going on with him, man?
Lord of Norns, my StamDK, you know, my main here. He's still leaping, you know, still in the year of the leap. He's still leaping. Honestly, not a lot of change on this, but I've been on this build a lot. And I know we were just talking about tough times for DKs right now. But, you know, been doing some group BGs and team BGs and have had a Templar on the team. And he just feels fantastic right now. Kind of reminder what the build is. It's the Oaken Soul Ring. 5-piece Basalt-Blooded Warrior, which is that infinite archive set for the DK. 2-piece Bloodspawn, Black Rose Dual Wield, and then I do a 1 trainee heavy reinforced chest, and then I do a Druid's Braid Ring. The damage abilities of the build is the Noxious Breath, so that's my AoE damage, and it's a spammable. And then I do Deep Breath, which is kind of my delayed burst damage. And then for heals, I do Cinder Storm and Coagulating Blood. And then I do Quick Cloak for just kind of some speed. The key piece to this build is that every single one of those abilities is doing multiple things for me. And I haven't mentioned the ult yet. I got Leap, in case anybody didn't know. But the Quick Cloak gives me the speed, but it also gives me Major Evasion. Cinder Storm works as a hot, but it also works as slowing enemy players down, as well as it's what's activating my Basalt Blooded Warrior set to give me the major heroism, with the Oaken Soul giving me minor heroism. So it's building up that ult real quickly. The Deep Breath is that burst, you know, delayed damage, but it's also an additional heal. You know, it's an opportunity to bring in more heals. And then the Noxious Breath is AoE damage, works as the spammable, but it's also putting Major Breach on all my enemies. You know, it's just throwing that Major Breach out to the entire enemy team. And so it's just really multiple utilities from each one of these abilities that's working out. And I really think that's kind of the key piece to this build, is that when you've got an Oak and Soul build, you really need to get kind of as much utility out of each bar slot as you can. And this has kind of been that real sweet spot to just get a little bit of everything I need from that bar setup. And then the build itself works really well to reset itself, you know. So you go in, you throw a deep breath to have it kind of prepped and ready, throw the noxious breath on everybody, it's throwing the breach out there, it's putting the poison dot on everybody, you know, then the deep breath will proc, give you some heals, you're throwing Cinderstorm down all the time. I should just stress Cinderstorm everywhere. Just always be doing Cinderstorm. And then the quick cloak, you always want to make sure that you keep that up. It's doing damage. It's a minor dot that's kind of staying near you. You're keeping expedition up, and you're also getting that major evasion. And so, you know, like I said, you know, noxious breath, you're standing in a Cinderstorm, you got deep breath. And then kind of as you go through everything, kind of as your resources are low, you just pop a leap. And kind of restart. You got the damage shield from the leap that kind of resets and lets you kind of take some pressure off yourself. Using the ult with the DK passive, you get your resources back, and then you just kind of continued with that continued pressure. Keeping your heals up, keeping your pressure, and about the time that you burn through your resources, you got another leap, and you just kind of keep doing it over and over. And it really just kind of works as a just kind of a grinder. It just really grinds other teams. You're in front of your team. You're taking the other team's damage. You're continuously kind of being that annoying. You're leaping in. You're throwing an AoE. You're kind of putting that pressure. You're really tanky, tough to take down. And you just kind of understand on this build, you're not going to get the kills. You know, usually if you're on a team, somebody else is going to kind of have that kill secure. But you're just going to kind of soak up the enemy team's damage. Let them burn through their resources and just kind of keep resetting the fight over and over. Grizzly Khan's asking what potions I use. I just use typical tripods. I wish I didn't because they're super expensive right now, but just typical tripods is what I use on the build.
Nice. Good old Lord of Nords. Glad to hear he's doing well. Well, next build I have to talk about is Catface Johnson. He's my Magic and Nightblade. He's a Khajiit. I always like hesitate calling him a Magic and Nightblade because he was a Standblade for so long, but he is a Magblade.
It's crazy to think he's a Magblade.
Yeah. His build is Soul Cleaver, the class set, has a double bar set. War Maiden on the front bar with a Lightning Staff. Master Bow on the back bar, Gaze of Sithis Mythic Helm, and One Piece Magma. I want to point out, I've talked about two builds in a row now that do not have Wretched Vitality involved in the build at all. Thank you. Thank you.
This is a record. First time since Wretched Vitality release.
Yep.
Are you twitching right now a little bit?
actually, on this build, I don't need it at all. On Despair, I find myself missing it at times, definitely. Mm-hmm. But on Catface here, no way I need it. Soul Cleaver essentially is a sustained set. It gives me that 15% cost reduction to all my siphoning abilities, plus 15%. You know, more damage and healing from those abilities. The siphoning attacks buff benefits from Soul Cleaver, right? It's a siphoning ability, so I get more healing from that. I get the cost reduction. You know, it costs health. Mm-hmm. Well, it costs 15% less health because of Soul Cleaver. It's an awesome, awesome buff, and it's made a huge difference in how good Catface feels just in the battlefield there. This is a build that has a really awesome offensive kit that is like connected to a really awesome like healing and defensive kit. It's really great how it all just sort of works together. I'll just talk about his offense really quick. It's he starts on the back bar with Venom Arrow to get his damage buff, plus it activates the Master Bow. Then you swap to the front bar and put Entropy on your target just to give them another dot, and then just Light Attack Weave with Swallow Soul. And you're just at this point, basically you just put those two dots on them, and then you just Light Attack Weave with Swallow Soul over and over again until their health bar gets low. And then you smack them with the Merciless Resolve, and you execute them with Impale. Or if you have your ultimate, then Merciless Soul Tether Impale.
Oof.
And you want to make sure you're using Soul Tether because it's a siphoning ability. So it gets all the benefits from Soul Cleaver. It gets the cost reduction and the extra damage, the extra healing, all that stuff.
I feel like you saying those three combos, I had a little PTSD on death recaps.
Yeah. Yeah, The common thing that people want to do is to do the Soul Tether ultimate first, then Merciless Resolve, because Soul Tether stuns them. But it's better to do Merciless first, because that way it's unexpected. They're not likely to dodge it and they can't dodge Soul Tether. It's AoE. So you smack them with the Merciless, then the Soul Tether. They just took two big burst, you know, burst attacks in a row. Then they're stunned, and then they're easy pickings to just execute at that point. Another great thing about Structured Entropy, in addition to being another dot, it's also a heal over time. While it's on your target, it's also healing you. It's also anti-stealth. If you put that on a Nightblade, every time it ticks, because of that heal, it pulls them out of stealth. So every 2 seconds, they're pulled out of stealth. So that is my anti-stealth on this build.
Hmm.
Really, really good. It's specifically that morph. The other morph doesn't do it. It's the one that heals you. His defensive kit, you know, of course he has like the standard like Vigor and Shrewd Offering, right? Vigor and a Burst Heal. Always got to have that. But also Swallow Soul, his main spammable, gives him a very strong heal over time. Every time he hits somebody with that, Structured Entropy, that heals me for quite a bit. For every target that I put that on, I can put that on multiple targets. I get a heal over time from all of them. Plus siphoning attacks, because of the way it works now, it essentially functions as another heal over time, because I have those dots on people. And it's every time those dots tick once per second, it's triggering siphoning attacks to heal me for like, I think it's like 1300 health every time. It's a pretty good hot.
Yeah, that's a fantastic hot.
So I just have a whole bunch of just kind of built-in healing over time built into my offense on top of the actual healing, you know, the active healing that I do on top of that. So for a Nightblade, for a stealthy, speedy Nightblade, he's actually very survivable. Like people like to, if they see a Nightblade going in and out of stealth, people like to really focus the Nightblade because they think they're getting a free kill, but it's really not the case at all. If they get a hold of this guy, they're going to be, you know, disappointed.
Too many self-heals.
A lot of self-heals. He also has the Phantasmal Escape ability, that bubble that gives you major evasion and snare removal and free roll dodges and does your taxes for you, you know.
And a couple other fine print abilities.
Yeah. Just so much going on. And then that offense is just so fun. It's all from long range. You do it from so far away. You're slipping in and out of stealth. You have all this heal over time stuff happening. You're just kind of like this, I don't know, the shadow blood mage kind of guy. I'm sure it's very infuriating for people being on the other end of it, because not only are you going invisible, but you're really far away from them too.
Yes, I was just about to say, like, how demoralizing that has to be. Like, it's hard enough to keep track of a good Nightblade when they're right next to you, you know, trying to gank you, or it's a brawler blade that's going in and out of stealth. But at a distance, like, there's just going to be no way to track you down.
Yeah, 3 swift.
Oh, boy. So. Oh, geez.
Awesome build. I've been preaching this Soul Cleaver set. I think Sir Newbie is, I think I mentioned that the last time I talked about Catface. He's the only other person I've met that is like on board. Like, yes, I agree. Set's awesome. All right, Davis, up next we have your Stamplar, Need for Mead.
Need for Mead. Yeah, this build is going to be, as I go through it, it's very, very similar to the Lord of Nords build. But I think my favorite thing is just how different it plays from that build while being very, very similar to it. So the build itself, it's Oaken Soul. It's got 2-piece blood spawn, Black Rose dual wield, the reinforced trainee heavy chest, and then the Druid's Braid ring. Now, the big change is the 5-piece body set that I do, 5-piece deadly strike. And then the bar is biting jabs. Now, I did make this change, and I look down at the ground as I say it, but I did throw the beam on here, Radiant Oppression, as the second damage ability.
You and me both, brother.
Oh, man. My goodness. It's so good. It's so good.
You're going to bring a Templar and you're not going to bring the beam? Yeah. I mean, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Radiant Oppression is on the build now. So that's kind of the main damage right there. It's just throwing jabs, Radiant Oppression, finishing people off, getting that execute, getting those kills. Extended Ritual, of course. It is unbelievable right now. Get Extended Ritual everywhere. All Templars should have it. So you've got that hot, as well as the cleanse on that. Honor the Dead, the Burst Heal, which is just the classic OG Burst Heal. And again, Quick Cloak, get the speed, the major evasion, and then just kind of additional damage. It puts up a kind of a decent dot. And then the ult I do is Crescent Sweep. Crescent Sweep is so cheap that when you do Oaken Soul with Blood Spawn on a Nord, Oh my gosh, I'm just crescent sweeping all the time. Just yeah. Always have that ability. And so that helps out a ton with the damage of just kind of the biting jabs, crescent sweep, and then raiding oppression kind of finish them off.
Yeah, you probably have a really high uptime on that pulse that crescent leaves.
Absolutely. And yeah, so this, you know, like I said, it's a very similar build, but I love the way it plays. You know, I'll mention old Betsy. I know you won't have a problem with that, but it kind of plays as that old Betsy light, just in the sense that you've got good damage. You know, you can kind of do good AOE damage pressure. You got good kill secure with the beam, and if you need to, you can absolutely step back and be a fantastic kind of heal support for the team. You throw down a ritual, you're cleansing your team. Honor of the Dead's a great burst heal. You know, it's got speed when it needs to get out of the fight. So it's just kind of really, you know, a Swiss Army knife of whatever the situation calls for, it can kind of handle that. And so it's been a lot of fun to hop on this build.
Nice, man. We need more Stamplars. The world needs more Stamplars.
More Stamplars in the world.
It's the best way to play a Templar. It really is. All right. Next build I have to talk about is Intergalactic, who is my sorcerer. It's the Sork patch. I got to talk about my sorcerer.
Of course.
His build, it's still the kind of my take on the old Sam Sork, Execute Sork. It's Gavage Gladiator on the front bar with a lightning staff, Wretched Vitality on the back bar with a bow, Stormweaver's Cavort, Mythic Pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically just three fillers. I have one Trainee, one Druid's Braid, one Magma.
Nice.
So I know I could be using a monster set there, but there just aren't any good ones. I've looked over the list 100 times. There just aren't any good ones. I was enjoying the Engine Guardian, but with that one passive change, I can't remember the name right now. It's not an option anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm using that shield, and it has that heal attached to it, and that all scales with your max health. So I figured I may as well just use those slots to stack a little more health plus a little more sustain, and it works out pretty good.
Nice.
So the offense, it's very basic. It's just Curse, Fury, Crushing Weapon.
Which leads to kills.
Which leads to the kills, yes. I've stopped using the Overload Ultimate. I'm using Meteor now, and I like that a lot better. Overload, I feel like when you turn it on against like experienced players, they notice it, and they know like, okay, that's bad news. I'm not going to mess around with that. And You're actually just not going to get a kill very often with that against people who know what it is and know how to play against it. But Meteor, you can kind of take people by surprise. You know, the classic like Meteor Streak combo, it still works. You know, it never stopped working.
Still,
you know,
good.
It's always been there. So I've gone back to that. Also, if you don't know, with Overload, if you have Overload active, then you know how when you do a roll dodge on your bow bar to get Major Expedition, that doesn't work if Overload is active. You don't get the Major Expedition.
Hmm.
So you like always have to like remember to turn it back off, then go to the bow bar and do a roll dodge to get your movement speed. So that was always annoying to me. Meteor's just better.
Yeah, that's one thing that I would say that Meteor seems, you know, appealing, is that when you have Overload, great ability, but it adds a layer of like, you've got to always be thinking of it, of like, do I have enough ult to kick it on? Like, do I need to kick it off? Like, it's just kind of adds a layer of like, you've got to at least be putting some sort of conscious thought towards it. So if you push to Meteor, kind of an expensive ult, so you just don't have to really worry about that until your ult's at that level, and then you can fit it into the combo. So I could see that being appealing.
I like that. Yeah, exactly. I like that it kind of simplifies the sort of mental processing. Defense, it's just Vigor and the Hardened Ward damage shield and the Barrier Ultimate. Of course, I have Streak, but I mean, Vigor and the damage shield is pretty much all you need. You're doing good there. I also have that Stormweaver Mythic that it makes my roll dodges and everything cost magicka. So it's a roly-poly mag sork. I guess I should have started with that. That's the unique thing about it.
Yeah.
Is it has like the defensive style of a Stam sork. It's very roly-poly and all of that. But he swaps to the front bar and he's a mag sork, you know, classic mag sork.
Talk about things that people are sleeping on. I feel like people are sleeping on that Stormweaver.
Dude, a Breton mag sork and Stormweaver is a beautiful thing. And that's another thing I've been trying to tell people, like, dude, you got to try this, and nobody wants to.
Sleeping on the Stormweaver.
It's not something I think you could slap on just any build and have a great time with. You know, it's maybe just a handful of specific builds that it's good for, but this is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I've been loving it. This is my Sork build. And I actually kind of like that nobody else uses it. You know, it's like, I feel special. Like, this is my Sork. Nobody has
nobody,
my Sork.
Nobody else is doing it.
Got some emails. Let's talk about some emails. scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. That's the email address. If you'd like to send us one, tell them what kind of emails to send us. Davis, take it away.
You know, you could tell us a joke.
There we go.
You know, ask us food questions. We're food connoisseurs, I would say.
Yes.
But not on like the, you know, we don't know how to cook or bake or anything, but we're good at eating it. Very good at eating it and having strong opinions about it.
Yes.
So
mostly, yeah, on the really, opinion side of things.
So yeah, you know, tell us about food that we would like to eat, like to try, tell us a joke. You know,
I suppose you could do something ESO related if you want, I
sure,
guess.
But, you know, or ESO related. That's, you know,
or food. Always, or food.
Did we mention food?
Let's get it back to food. Anyway, each episode we give away gold. Well, actually, okay, so this episode we're gonna pick a favorite email. Davius is gonna pick one, and we're gonna give that person 250K gold if they are on the PCNA server. If they're on a different server, we'll figure something out.
Okay.
But I got to give people a heads up. Okay, the reason we've been giving away all this gold is because we got a very generous gold donation a long time ago from Danjevin. Shout out to Danjevin.
Shout out Danjevin.
The reserves are running out, people. Okay, so keep the emails coming. Pretty please, but we're not going to be able to pay for it anymore. Okay, well, this will probably be the last episode we're going to be able to afford to pay people to email us. So anyway, yeah, I just wanted to give people a heads up on that. So first email comes from Strictly Shady. He says, "Hello, Strictly Shady here. Been falling in and out for a few years, but have been getting back into it in the last 6 to 8 months. I've been listening to the podcast for about 4 months and love the off-meta creativity. We love a Discord and Xbox Guild invite."
Nice. I'm assuming we got Strictly. We got Strictly on board.
He's in there. He nice. Or she is in there.
Nice.
Thanks for writing, Strictly. Next email comes from Jason. Jason says, "I just wanted to say I really appreciate this podcast. It's a clean and interesting montage of everything I've come to love about ESO. I can even keep it playing with my kids in the car. Keep up the great job."
Dang.
Man, thanks so much. That's so nice, Jason.
Too nice. Strictly, Jason, like two really just nice, kind emails.
I love that. I love these very emails nice. that are just writing just to say something nice, and they don't even have a question or anything.
Very appreciative. We appreciate it a lot.
Next email comes from Zach. Zach says, "Hey, Ket and Davius. Been playing ESO on and off, mostly off for a while now, but have recently dove into PvP and I'm loving it. Found your podcast in January and it's been keeping me excited about the game. I've learned a lot just listening to you guys theorycraft. I was hoping I could get a guild invite to the Discord and become a new member of the Goons. Keep up the great work, Zach."
Another nice. We're 3 for 3.
Yeah, 3 for 3.
Jeez.
And the invites have been sent. And I just want to say that's awesome feedback to hear that you've learned a lot from listening to us theorycraft. That's the whole goal, really, is, you know, I've said that exact thing, I think, multiple times to people. Is like, I want people who listen to the show to, like, eventually be competent and confident in making their own PvP builds, you know, without having to follow a guide just from scratch. Make a build for yourself that you know is going to be good. Like, hopefully if you've been listening to the show long enough, you'll just be able to do that naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome feedback, man. Thank you very much. Okay, you thought you guys were getting out of here without the weekly chumpy email.
The chumpy email.
I got news for you. He's back. Chumpy says, "Hey, Scrollininos." I had to kind of edit Chumpy's email a little bit here to make it easy to read. My thoughts were elongated and more dense than usual this week as I was searching for the perfect question. In searching for the perfect question, I just happened to be listening to the Booncast, and the wholesomeness got caught in the throat of my mind, and it coughed out this brain gem of a question.
Wow. Just a way with words, Chumpy. a way with positivity and words just synced and just sewn together.
I can't wait to hear what this question is.
Poetry.
I'm like, the question is, for everyone involved in the pod today, that includes the people in the chat, Please tell me three things you're happy that exist in the game or out. So Grizzly Khan and FK, if you guys want to start composing your answers in the chat, Davius, I'll let you take the first swing here.
All right, so I'm gonna go cheesy but true, but I'm actually gonna do both because I know both pretty off the top of my head. So for the cheesy but truly mean it, I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna cheat a little bit on this answer, but I'm gonna go my kids. I'm gonna group as one answer. I got three kiddos, so I'm definitely gonna the cheesiness, but absolutely,
hey, valid.
Very valid, thankful, man, for them. Gonna throw the throw the wife in there, the law dog.
All right.
She absolutely keeps me in line, puts up with me every day.
Is that a separate entry?
Yes, that's number two. Okay. That's okay. Number two. Okay.
All right.
And number three, I'm going to say this Goon community. Absolutely awesome. So cool every day just to look on the Discord, hop into a chat, start a conversation, do some theory craft, just see what everybody's up to. Absolutely thankful for it. And then for the second side of this question, for the inside ESO, I've got these easy right off the top of my head. Nords, okay. Nords, Mead, Eastmarch. Done and done. Very thankful for all three of those in the world of ESO.
Great, great. Okay, my three things, they're not necessarily the three things that are the most, that I'm the most happy about. I just kind of chose three things.
I like that.
But I don't know, maybe this is number one. Coffee and toast.
Oh, man. One of the best meals in existence. Butter only, right? Can we agree on that? Unless you're really feeling fancy, you can put some jam on there, but just buttered toast and coffee.
I am not with you. Jam every time.
No. Every time?
Jam every time.
No,
every
never time. Buttered toast?
Well, I mean, okay, if I'm eating like breakfast with like bacon and eggs, then just buttered toast.
Okay.
But if it's just coffee and toast, then jam every time. Every time. Strawberry.
Strawberry jam every time.
I'll change up the flavor sometimes, but usually strawberry.
Jam is only special occasions for me.
No. I start every day of my life with coffee and toast with jam.
And you're happy for it every single time. It's a delicious meal. Oh my God.
I can't wait. It's like, I get up like 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock sometimes. It's like, that's why I get up super early, because I can't wait for my coffee and toast with jam.
You are an epic level morning person. You've always been that way.
Yeah, I am. Oh, dude, I get my coffee and my toast. I sit down and I play a few BGs before I start getting ready for work.
Can I also say too that on the opposite end of that, also great. You know, at the end of the day, evening, if you're not working, can't be working the next day. You cannot be. It's got to be a Friday night, Saturday night. A little coffee with a couple of cookies, also fantastic.
Chocolate chip.
Mm-hmm.
The king of all cookies.
Two quality chocolate chip cookies and a cup of coffee in the evening. Ooh. Oh man, are you kidding?
Ooh,
me?
Oh boy.
Ooh,
that right there is living, brother.
you're living life.
Okay, so coffee and toast is one of mine.
Okay.
Second was a weird one. Okay, but I have a deep appreciation for a good pair of gloves. That are like the right gloves for the thing you're doing, like a good pair of work gloves, dude.
Hearing you say this, I'm Alice falling down the tree. Like, this is, we are deep into the squirrel. A good pair of work gloves. I can see that gloves. It makes sense. If you don't have a good pair of work gloves, there's so many things you can do to just wreck your hands. And if your hands are wrecked, it's not a bad moment. It's a bad several days.
Yeah, I feel like work gloves are an underappreciated thing. Like, they make you a better person. Like, they make you stronger. Like, you can do more stuff now that you have these things.
Forget Superman's S on his chest. If he would have had some work gloves, he really would have gotten some stuff done.
Oh, dude, and let me tell you, okay, I'm kind of a smaller statured person, okay? Like, most of the time, if you just go to like a gas station and buy a pair of work gloves off the shelf, they're going to be like triple XL, okay? They're going to be like way too big. I highly encourage anyone listening, go find the right size, like go to the hardware store and try on different gloves and find some that actually fit your hands, man. It's a totally different experience actually having some gloves that are like the right size. It's awesome. Okay. It's amazing.
Okay.
I'm a maintenance man. I do physical work, you know, every day. I use my hands a lot, and having good gloves is a is important. And man, I've just really come to appreciate having a really good, solid pair of work gloves.
I can say I can relate to that because there is something to be said. Back when I used to work construction, when you're doing a job and you put on those good, heavy-duty work gloves, you just feel, like you said, like you just feel like, all right, nothing can, like, whatever it is, I can do it now. Like, doesn't matter the demo. My hands are protected. Like, I've got extra.
You get you some good boots. You get you some good boots, some good gloves. Like, nothing's going to stop
me. You're unstoppable. You're unstoppable.
Yeah. Grizzly God says your gloves should fit like a good pair of gloves.
We're apparently just speaking nonsense right now. Grizzly Con is taking what we're saying. He got me in there with deep into the squirrel. I think that's actually what I said. I don't know where I was going with that, Grizz, but you know, we've well, just
well, there's gloves, whiskey involved, guys.
Yeah, okay? I mean, come on, we're you know, it's the next level thinking there.
And then I'll borrow one of yours, Davius, the Goons. I love the Goons. I'm so very thankful for the Goons. If anybody has gone back to listen to episode 100, sure you understand where I'm coming from. You know, it's exhilarating. I love that this community exists and that people have fun with it and that they appreciate it. And it makes me feel like I've done a good thing. And it's awesome, man. It's so awesome. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Chumpy closes by saying, most best wishes, Chumpy. Thanks so much, Chumpy. Always great to hear from you, man. Been an awesome member of the community since you joined up, dude.
Yes, fantastic.
Speaking of which, we have a guild. It's the guild's name is... Oh, wait, what's up? Oh, yeah. You got to choose a... I do that all the time. This is the last time we're doing it. We can't skip it.
This is the final one. That was sly, though. That was really the way to save us some gold.
We really need
the funds. Like,
How much are we giving away? We're giving away 250K.
So I just have to say this. Chumpy's email, epic level, loved it. Fantastic question. Unbelievable. I think Chumpy won last week, though.
He wins. He has like forfeited all like future
and like
winnings,
given away. Think, so. He's given away the winnings. Like Chumpy, fantastic. Love your email. Please continue to keep emailing. That being said, I think I'm going to go with Jason for playing the podcast in his car, getting his kids hooked into ESO.
That's right. Get them. You got to start them young.
They're already hearing the podcast, so I'm going to pick our winner, Jason, this week.
Awesome, Jason. All right, we'll contact you and figure out which platform you're on, and we'll figure something out, Jason. Thanks for writing, dude. And yeah, this will be the last time we're giving away gold, but please keep the emails coming. scrollandpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now we have a guild. The guild's name is Stoon's Goons. It is literally the best PvP guild in the game. And it also just so happens to be the best named guild on the PC NA, Xbox NA, and now, that's right, PlayStation NA servers. That's right, people. We're on PlayStation now.
We're a triple threat now. That's what people are saying. Triple threat.
Shout out to Windsor. He joined up on the Discord a couple of weeks ago and has been like the one and only PlayStation person just like hanging out. We got all these PC people. We got a ton of Xbox people super active on the Discord. And one day Windsor just speaks up. He's like, am I literally the only PlayStation person here? And we're like, yeah, you are, man.
That's where it starts, That's where it starts.
And Duttagon, who was on the last episode, he's the Xbox guild leader. He encouraged Windsor to, hey, why don't you go ahead and start up the PlayStation chapter of things? And Windsor's like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And so, awesome. Major shout out to Windsor, dude. Thank you so much for taking a crack at this thing. So if anybody listening to the show plays ESO on PlayStation, on the North American PlayStation server, then we got the Goons are there.
We got the Goons.
It's also the official guild of the Scrolling Podcast. I forgot to say that. So scrollingpodcast@gmail.com if you'd like to join on any of those three platforms. Or if your guild roster is full, or if you're not on those three platforms, if you're in EU or something like that, then guess what? In-game membership is not required. You can just join the Discord, and that counts. You're a fully fledged goon. Any events that we do, or anything that you know is going on, you're welcome to join up. So scrollandpodcast@gmail.com to join the guild or the Discord or both. So if you'd like to support the show, a few ways you can do that. A quick and easy way is just open up the Apple Podcast app and give us a star rating and especially a written review. That helps the most. Just makes it easy to find our show. If you want to go a step further than that, you can go to patreon.com/scrollandpodcast and sign up to receive Stoon's Boon for $3 a month. That gives you access to a few different things, including the Booncast, which is a shorter solo ESO podcast that I do on the off weeks. So you get a little scrolling every week. Some other ways you can help us out. If you're on any of the North American platforms, you can just drop stuff into the guild bank. That helps out a lot. Crafting materials, gold, style pages, really anything helps out a lot. And really the biggest thing that anybody can do is just join our community and join up with the Discord and hang out with us, play with us, have conversations with us. Pretty much everything we talk about here on the show has been kind of distilled through the Discord, through conversations that we've had with people. We've kind of worked these ideas out with all of our friends talking about all this stuff over the, you know, during the 2 weeks in between each episode. So that's the biggest help, is just having this community and having people to talk about this stuff with. Mm-hmm. So some shout-outs. Shout-out to the chat, FK and Grizzly Khan. Thanks for being here tonight, guys. Some other shout outs to Uncle Sam, Kingnar, returning. Yeah, Kingnar, he's been gone for 3 or 4 months at least, I think. But welcome back, Kingnar. Good to have you back. Sir Newbie, Maddie Quinn, 6-0, Sudica, a bunch of others. We've all just been playing a lot lately. Been a lot of fun. Shout out to the Elragoons, the OGs, our friends. Thank you all for being around for so long. And shout out to our Stoon's Boon recipients, our Patreon supporters. Okay, here's the list. The list is growing.
Here we go. Here we go.
I got to get ready. Maybe I can do it all in one breath this time.
No, don't do that to Jim.
Jim needs this. Okay. I'll do it with half lung capacity, Jim. We'll start it with that. We have Pork Body, Toadster, Gummy Bear, Grizzly Khan, Thomas, Taggard, Mother of Dragons, Sudica, Jim, Maxwell, Derpenstuff, Dudagon, Brewer Man, Brock, Redhead Monster, and Chumpy. Thank you all so much. I think that's the end of our podcast. Davius, you have anything else?
Just, you know, we've got to work together, convince each other to do some PvE. We got to do some PvE to farm the build so we can do more PvP.
We vow to you, dear listener, to become PvE players.
Well, that's a lot of commitment there. Hold on.
What is it that you want, David?
I'm panicking now. I take it back.
We're going to do Cloud Rest on Monday. All right. So if you need anything out of there, we're going to do that.
Yes. I'm excited about that. I'm excited.
All right. Well, we're going to end it right there. Thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. You want to know something that takes a sandwich to another level, dude?
Well, now I do. I definitely.
It's a fresh, nice, crisp purple onion.
Oh, I don't know if I don't know if I'm with you on that.
I'm sorry. You need to get with me on this.
This is a deal breaker. All right. This is a deal breaker.
Come on over. Just try just a fresh. It's got to be purple onion. No other.
Now, like a full clean slice or just like the ringlets? You know, I don't know the proper term for that, but just like you collect some of the pieces of onion to sprinkle on there.
I personally like a full circle, you know, like that's what I like.
Okay. Okay. With lettuce, I assume. Ooh.
No, Grizzly, you're Grizzly wrong. Khan's I'm an onion got guy.
Fighting words right there.
I'm an onion guy all the way.
I'll tell you right now, like the reason I'm thinking on this, because I do love me a good grilled onion burger. So I'm with you on onions. Well,
yes.
You know, yes. I'm with you on onions.
I like them grilled. I like them raw. Hmm. I'll take an onion. Onion rings.
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Onion rings, also delicious. I would take, this could be crazy. I would take onion rings over french fries any day of the week.
It's going to depend on the onion rings for me.
All right, that's fair.
Some onion rings are like the best things in the world, but others are not.
I'm saying if your quality rating is equal, seven quality french fry, seven quality onion ring, I'm taking the onion ring 100% of the time.
I mean, I know everybody's like, my mom's cooking, yada, yada, but my mom makes these onion rings, dude, that are just...
Yeah, you've told me about your mom's onion rings before, like the legend of them. This isn't just, dude, this didn't just come up out of the blue. This is legit. They're a legend. There's data to back up this claim.
They're so good. It's like the thing everyone asks her to make, that and her famous lasagna. Those are like the two, two like completely unrelated random
but
things.
Both but delicious, like epic level delicious. Oh man.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Lasagna. Oof. That's amazing.